everybody. I hope you're doing well today. It's been a while since I did this crazy podcasting thing, so I'm just getting comfortable with it again, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you today. So basically, I asked some questions on the Facebook Natives group for my patrons, and I just said, like, what would you guys like to hear me speaking about? Because I'm not playing a load of music right now in terms of creating videos and stuff. I am getting ready to play at the Grahamstown Festival, the National Arts Festival, South African National Arts Festival, in just a few weeks. So I'm prepping for that. And I'm also looking, I'm getting merchandise done and some CDs printed and stickers and all these wonderful things, but I'm not really creating much in terms of videos at the moment. So I wanted to put something else out. And I love this podcasting thing. It is something I want to do so much more of. And I just haven't quite worked out how to get a consistent thing going with it yet. It's hard for me to know exactly what to talk about. So I asked, what would you guys like to hear me speak about? And one of the top, actually the top voted thing, which I was surprised about, but you know, that's what people are interested in, is guys wanted to, Faye wanted to hear me talking about life in South Africa. And that's had over, well, 20, it's had 20 votes. So it's double the amount of the next thing. So that's what I'm going to talk about a bit. What I thought would be nice is to also kind of link it to my music, because obviously I'm from South Africa, I'm from Cape Town, and my music and my music and where I'm from are so inextricably interlinked, specifically from Scarborough on the tip of the peninsula of Cape Town. And so it's very, especially when I grew up, it was such a quiet, nature-full place. It was really a little village that no one knew about. I remember when I was young and people would ask me where I was from, you know, even in somewhere like a half an hour's drive away, they'd say, where are you from? Scarborough. And a lot of times people wouldn't know where that was. That has changed now. Scarborough is one of the to-be places. Everyone wants to be in Scarborough these days. And I totally understand. It's amazing. It's surrounded by nature reserve. It's got the ocean, a beach, and then the mountain behind, and the Cape Point Nature Reserve on the one border. But everything around it is also classified as nature reserve. So it's really a sort of little community gem in the midst of a whole bunch of freshness and air and beauty. And it's right on the tip of the Cape of Storms. So it gets a lot of extreme weather experiences. And yeah, I'm really grateful to be from there. And so it's, I grew up, especially then, it was before the tourist industry, it was really quiet. And so I had a lot of time as a child to just explore the mountains and the ocean and the beach. And there was no one, we kind of had free reign of the village. And I remember a lot of running around and making bases and climbing trees and just kind of experiencing the space that we were in. And so obviously it's influenced my songwriting a lot. I mean, especially like if I think my song, The Wild Land, I so much feel like there are elements of that in there. Also home, very much so. I mean, home to me is kind of the epitome of what it was like growing up in Scarborough. The first line, growing up was easy, taking life slowly, ocean and mountains were my friends. And that's really what it was like. And also what I, growing up in a small community like that, I had a certain perception around friendliness and I don't know if, yeah, friendliness would be the word I would say, how people would greet one another. Walking down the street, there was always time to at least meet someone's eye, say hello and continue on your way, even if you weren't necessarily stopping to have a conversation. And so it was quite a shocking experience for me to move to London or to move to the UK in 2004 was the first time I went over, and to see, you know, that people aren't like that out there, aren't like that in big cities. And what I noticed was so many lonely people in big cities. And that, I mean, that makes sense, you know, because obviously there are more people. So there are more out of that, a percentage will always be lonely. That's going to happen. But I saw a disconnection, which I didn't really see in the same way in my village growing up. And one of the things, actually the second verse of the song Home talks about that, where seeing, you know, people who wrapped up their pain into this concrete experience. And I saw so many people crying or looking really sad and sitting alone or on buses or walking in London. And it was shocking because people would just walk past. No one would stop and say, can I help? Or is there anyone I can call? Or do you need anything? Or is something wrong? Like there was no, generally people would just keep walking and look away so that they didn't have to become involved in someone else's reality. And I found that really jarring. It was like, what? That doesn't feel like normal. Actually, there's an amazing book called The Naked Ape. I can't remember who wrote it now, but it's by a zoologist. And he in the introduction, he says that every time he goes into cities, he sees the same symptoms in humans that he sees in animals who are kept in captivity in zoos, the same kind of nervous actions and behavior patterns. So I don't know. There's a lot there. I mean, I love living in the city and it's amazing, but I also really appreciate that I came from the country and from the ocean and the mountains, and that I had that as a background. And that's what I'm trying to get back towards now. It's what I'm working at, but it's hard because my job, which I love, is connecting with people through the internet and sharing my art and my music and answering questions and comments and tweeting and all of these things. And I'm going through this huge shift right now where I'm struggling a bit with it. I'm kind of like just seeing myself as, I just know that the whole social media game is an attention game, and it's about getting and keeping people's attention and trying to do that more and more and more. And it's just horrible. And these platforms are built to be addictive and they're built to keep people hooked. And the more attention I bring to a platform, the more I'm supporting that, the more I'm saying that I'm okay with that. But what I really want is for people to have connected experiences with themselves and with the people around them and with their life around them. And that's what I want for myself. But I've found that the more I'm online, the more alone I feel, the more loneliness I experience in a way that isn't like, I like being alone. I love being alone, but loneliness, that sense of like not having anyone around is not healthy long-term. And I'm looking at all these things because I want to keep doing what I do and sharing what I share, but I have to do it in a way that is sustainable and that is in alignment with my beliefs around what is it that is a good life. And I can't decide that for anyone else. I don't know what a good life is for you. Whoever you are listening right now, you have your own good life to find, but we have to choose and we have to make firm effort to bring that into reality. Because when I look out into the way that society is structured, I don't see it structured in a way to bring people to their own happiness, to their own success. I see it where there's a mold and we're supposed to fit that, and then that's how we're meant to be successful. But it doesn't make people happy just fitting in the mold. What makes people happy is finding their own purpose, their own motivations, their joys, their passions, whether that's children, whether that's looking after whatever it is. I think, I don't know, to me, being of service feels really important. And I do feel that through my music, that many people are supported, and that is amazing. Anyway, so I think we should listen to a song now. And I have actually gone and downloaded an album by a friend of mine. I do hope he's okay with this. I kind of think he will be, but anyway, you know, better to ask for forgiveness than permission sometimes. It's one of my favorite artists. He's a South African singer-songwriter. I met him some years ago. His name is Tim Hutchinson, and I'm going to play you one of his songs now. So we'll listen to that and then be back in just a little bit. Thank you so much for being here.
This time of day, ever since I noticed how the light changes, I feel like I'm painting pictures, looking through my father's favorite old camera lens. The branches of the trees assume their place, broken bricks arrange themselves like a crumbled theater stage. Sitting in the dust, I'm waiting, hoping that the sun will paint these sheep all bronze and gold. And I wonder what David must have known. How its hair all shimmering. For all I know, I'm just another tree to it. A bear could barely look less tame, a lamb within a lion's mane. At least that's what I thought I saw that evening. I wonder how David used to sing.
Wow, I haven't actually listened to that song in ages and I love it so much. So he was, I don't know if he still is, we haven't actually been in touch in some time, but he was teaching math, if I'm not mistaken, up in the Transkei, which is a beautiful part of South Africa. South Africa is incredible. I mean, if you ever have the chance to visit, I do recommend it. It has so many varied and interesting aspects to it. There's the inland, the semi-desert, the coastal, dry kind of down here in Cape Town, or at least a bit further up the west coast as well. It's like semi-desert then on the coast. And then also up you have in Knysna and wilderness, you have this like semi-tropical jungly kind of vibe. And then further up you have very much closer to the equator. You have Durban where it's like mangoes and avocados and super tropical vibes and yeah, everything in between. The Transkei, which is green rolling hills with little huts on them and no fences anywhere. You have to watch out for dogs and donkeys and horses in the road, and it's crazy. Anyway, so he was teaching maths up there to the communities, and he was watching sheep, I think, and he wrote this song, which was about, he's very religious, he's very into, he comes from a Christian background and has moved, at least the last time we spoke, more into Catholicism, and we've had some very interesting conversations about that and about sort of religion and God and what is God and how do we find our place within all of that world. And he writes the most beautiful songs. So you can actually buy that album on iTunes. I just did because somehow I lost my copy of it. And I'm so glad that I've realized that now and that I have it again and I will not let it go. So yes, moving on to the next question or the next thing you guys voted on, which had 10 votes, was what my creative process is, which I think Mike asked, was interested in knowing that. And yes, so thanks, Mike. My creative process is completely haphazard. I don't have any kind of methodology, which is, I think, a double-edged sword. I feel like it holds me back a lot at times because if I had more structure and more formation in how I, if I was like, okay, I'm writing a song a week for the next year and like did one of those things, that I would probably have a lot of cool stuff that would happen. But I kind of enjoy doing it the other way, which is where I sit down and I play music and then sometimes a new song happens and a lot of the time it doesn't, but I don't really feel like I have too much control over that. So I'm trying to think of some examples. So It's the Little Things was definitely it kind of just happened, you know, although that was a mix. I had been thinking about that term, It's the Little Things, which people say, you know, when someone does something, they bring you a little cup of tea or they open the door for you or they do something sweet happens and it's not necessarily a huge thing. And then someone will go, it's the little things. And I thought about that a lot. And my thought was, it really is the little things more than we give credit for, because it's, you know, there's a lot, the big things happen, but it's, everything's made up of little things. Everything is made up of, every huge journey is made up of thousands of steps, or, you know, that's, every master has practiced thousands of hours, has touched the strings infinite times, you know, like this, that whole thing. So my feeling was that I wanted to celebrate the little things. But then I didn't have like, I didn't sit down and think, oh, I should write this in this kind of key, because I don't know theory. I'm self-taught. I barely know what I'm doing most of the time. Really, I can't improvise with other musicians. I feel very limited musically in some ways. Where I don't feel limited is in terms of like the melodies that come into my head and often the lyrics. Those are areas that I really have spent a lot of time enjoying and being passionate about, I would say. And so, yeah, then I sat down with my ukulele, which at the time I'd hardly played at all. I'd learned about 8 chords on the thing, I think. And then I just started strumming and then It's the Little Things arrived. The whole, like the song just poured out. I didn't plan what I was going to say. I just had been thinking about the little things for a few months and then suddenly it arrived, the whole song. So that's how that one came about. What else could I say about my creative process? Yeah, I don't know. It's I haven't been writing many songs for a while now. I've written a few, like in the last, sort of since the beginning of last year, so a year and a half, I think I've written 3 songs, which is like a very small amount to me, where there was times where I would write, you know, 10 or 12 songs a year. But at the moment, this is just where I'm at. I feel like I've said a lot of the things I really wanted to say at that time. And I am interested in experimenting with different creative processes. So I'm interested in maybe doing some projects around like thinking of just specific topics and then trying to write songs about them. One thing I have been thinking about for a while, which my friend Jessica Alossary did, which, oh my gosh, you should, I'm actually going to play one of her songs next. That's totally what's happening because she's just beautiful. And I'll play you one. So basically what she did is she offered, for a relative, I think it was $200 a song. She offered to write songs on any topic that people wanted. And she had, I think she wrote quite a few, 5 that way. And one of them, which was called, I do not remember the name right now, Let You Go, or I think it was called that. Sorry about the clicks in the background. Yes, I'll Let You Go. That was it. And I've listened to this song so many times. So I hope that she doesn't mind me sharing it here as well. I'm sure she won't again, because we love the sharing. And so yeah, I'm going to play the song. So she basically wrote the song on request from someone who paid her $200 and was like, I'd love you to do this. So I've been thinking about doing that as well. I feel like that could be a really exciting, creative inspiration for me. So that's it. That's my creative process. It just kind of happens. And generally, sometimes I really do think about it, but generally it just happens. I sit down, I play some stuff, I sing some words, and then I just try to surrender. I try to let go of my idea of how it should be and just allow it to be what it is. And that's my creative process. And now, please enjoy the magnificent and magical and wonderful, beautiful friend, Jessica Alossary. She is just one of the coolest people in the world. And this is her song, I'll Let You Go.
Day has come to let you go. Only happiness I will show. I'll always be here for you, you know. Nothing takes away my love and it shows. You've grown up now, things have changed. Some wings now, you're flying away. I'll always be here for you, you know. Nothing takes away my love and it shows. Yeah, nothing takes away my love when I let you go. Cause you're my baby. Will be. love stays when you go.
Oh man, ain't she lovely? Yeah, so that song was written for someone who, if I remember correctly, it was a father who was going to be giving his daughter away at her wedding. And so he was like, he wanted a song. And so he gave her the, he's like, this is the sort of setting, this is what I want. And then she just went and wrote and created based on that. And I've been really inspired by that. I would love to do the same thing myself. The reason I haven't done it yet is because I'm really scared that I won't be able to do it. You know, like someone will pay me $200 and I'll just sit there going, you know, I just don't have it. And so, yeah, I haven't done it yet, but I would love to. And perhaps this will prompt and inspire me to actually get on it. So yes, that is my creative process. And that was Jessica Alossery. You can also find her on Patreon, patreon.com/Jessica Alossery. Please do ask me about it. I will try my best to share a link to that if I remember. She is just the best. And yeah, we've actually done some collaborations. You can check us out on YouTube if you Google Empty. We did the song Empty by Ray LaMontagne. You can just type in Empty Nate Maingard or Empty Jessica Lossery. And we also did another one whose name I've forgotten right now. So we'll move on. I'm going to answer one more question over here, or one more voted thing you'd like to hear me speaking about. So the next one was, had 6 votes and was, since I spend almost all my pocket money on it, the best concerts you ever attended and why you liked them so much. I can't see who actually put that into the poll, but who asked for that. But anyway, thank you. And thanks to everyone for voting. So this is an interesting question for me because I haven't really attended as many concerts as people would think that I would have. And my favorite ones are definitely not the ones that I spent most of my money on. So I'm a musician. So a lot of my friends are musicians there, and that's been going for some years. My dad's a musician. I grew up around musicians. So like I've been to a lot of shows which I've loved that I didn't pay anything for. And so I've been very blessed in that sense. The first big concert I ever went to, and one of the only, I haven't been to that many, but the first was Counting Crows. In, they played in South Africa years ago. I was a teenager, like early to mid-teens. And it was a big deal because my parents were in the middle of their divorce and there was some complicated stuff happening with my mom. And I think she didn't give me permission and I went anyway. And it was this whole rebellious thing that I was going through. And it was crazy because I actually didn't have a ticket. And so I got there and it was sold out and I stood in lines and waited. And there was all these things happening to try and get a ticket. And eventually someone gave me a hint. He's like, hey, at that ticket office, they're about to release like 100 tickets, to just go and sneak into that line. And no one cared. I remember so clearly, no one cared where, if people pushed into the line, no one minded because no one knew, in inverted commas, if there was going to be more tickets released. So it didn't matter. But I had got a tip from someone else. So I just sneaked in and then I got a ticket and I got in. And I think I have been so high, like on energy and getting like the adrenaline of trying to get in, that by the time I got in, I found a corner and fell asleep. So that was my big concert experience at the age of whatever it was, 15 or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I've been to one of my favorite ever like big live shows was, well, one of them was going to see King Charles, the band, with my sister as a surprise. She introduced me to this band. You should check him out. He's super fun. I took her to a surprise show in London, and that was amazing because, yeah, it's my sister. She's my best friend. So we just got to hang out and I got to surprise her and it was awesome. That was good. And then also Cat Empire, the Australian band. I saw them at Glastonbury Festival some years ago. And they had no one else. I was with my English cousins and none of them knew who Cat Empire was. And it was like a 40-minute walk across the campsite. I mean, it's like 200,000 people, 180,000 people at this festival. It's ridiculous. And I was definitely not in my complete right state of mind, but I was excited to go and hear Cat Empire live. And so I told my friends, I was like, I don't care if you don't want to see them, I'm going. And I trekked across the whole festival and ended up in this packed tent with just hundreds of super excited people. And they're the 6-piece amazing band, and I just had the most fun ever. It was really incredible. But then my personal favorite gigs I've been to really are the ones my friends have played, or that I've been with friends at, or you know, house concerts. I used to run a little house concert series at our house in Scarborough. some years ago at the open mic that I used to host. Some of my favorite artists ever, I've met them playing there. Actually, which brings me to this point of playing a song by a lovely, lovely girl named Flo Perlin. I met her at the open mic. I'm not sure where she was in her performance, like how many times she'd played then or what her thing was, but she came and she signed up and she played, and I've loved her ever since. And she's finally released an album. She connected with some producers and they wanted to work it, and I love it. I think it is such a beautiful, delicate representation of her music. So yes, I will now play you a song by her. This is the magnificent Flo Perlin.
I said I'll be here when you stumble. Even when you don't want me to see. Cause underneath that foggy mind, there's layers of beauty. Cause when I inhale, I can feel my 2 feet, like they're running through a field of grain, in love and insane. I looked up at the moon and watched the night turn to day, and was a gift from nature, that was a gift, but nothing will stay. And oh, that was a gift from nature, that was a gift, that nothing will stay. Bitter and sweet. You'll be amazed by the wonders you've missed when you slow down your pace. Heard a mother tell a child, there's no need to limit what you know. And whenever you see nothing, whenever you're sure, so much more. I looked up at the moon and watched the night turn to day. And oh, that was a gift from nature, that was a gift, that nothing will stay. Nothing will stay.
Yes, indeed. Flo Perlin. What a wonderful human. There are really some standout people. I mean, when I was hosting that open mic, there were sometimes 20 artists a week who would come. There were only 8 who could play, but then it was, you know, it was 8 a week, and I was doing it almost every weekend for just under 2 years. And so I met a lot of artists, and some really stood out, and Flo was one of them from the first time I ever heard her. She was so gentle and so delicate and so unassuming. certain people come with such a story where they, you know, and I speak of myself at times where I come and I step on a stage and I want to be heard and I want people to know how good I am. And those are things I wrestle with. Sometimes I come and it's just pure desire to offer and to surrender and to be a part of an experience and all that. So the light and the shadow, what I saw with Flo was just her, you know, it was an insecurity, but it was also a delicacy. It was a vulnerability and she still got up there and she did it. And there were so many, so one of the things I felt the loveliest about was that there was such a sense of support at the open mic where people could come and people who'd never played before, kids, you know, like think you wouldn't think like, but the crowd was always so supportive of those people, especially, and actually of everyone. There was a really wonderful environment of listening there, which I will always be grateful for. I do miss that incredible experience. So yes, I don't have much more to say to you today. I kind of have fulfilled the things I wanted to check in about. This is, again, and still and always, an experiment for me. I love the idea of a podcast. I love sharing songs and stories with people, whether it's my own songs or my own stories, but just, I just love this aspect of communication and connection. And so I would like to keep doing it and I shall do my best to do so. That's all for me today. I wish you so well. And if all goes according to plan, there will be more coming soon. I'm going to share the links to these various people so you can support them. We played a song by Tim Hutchinson. We had Jessica Alossery and we had Flo Perlin, just lovely humans. So please do support the artists you love. These are all just independent people just trying to make life, what's the word, to make life abundant for themselves, to thrive. And so, yeah, if you love what they do, if it brings you something of value in your heart, then please give back to those wonderful humans. And in the same way, if you love what I'm up to and you feel like you want to be a part of the journey and you want to vote on what I talk about in podcasts, if you want to vote on what I play, if you want to just be a part of this community of natives from around the world, this incredibly supportive and wonderful bunch of humans, then check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/NateMaingard. I'll share a link as well in the description. And yeah, everything you give helps. It really, really makes a difference. I cannot express this strongly enough, that whatever you can give, it adds up. It makes a difference. You know, it just takes a few people giving a dollar and the whole thing becomes abundant. And I just love that. I love that it takes the pressure off the individual and puts the power in the community. That really works for me. So yes, thank you. If you're listening and you are one of my patrons, you know you rock my world. I so appreciate you. And I'll be back again soon with another podcast or a video or a writing or some kind of wonderful creation that I am excited to share with you beautiful humans. Until then, I wish you all the best and look after yourself, look after the people around you, and I'll see you soon. I'm Nate Maingard and you are awesome.